This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses a Seizure, as you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, yes. The sun is shining. Winter may have been coming for the Starks. There'll be no Game of Thrones spoilers on this show. And please don't watch the episodes that were leaked. I was at Professor Tom's last night, and it's a 1,000-person sports bar cheering for the characters of Game of Thrones. And I think today's episode of Eating Disorder on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org is going to be Game of Thrones-esque as we discuss all things both podcasting, competitive eating, and New York-related. My name's Crazy Legs Conti. I'm a co-host here. My other co-hosts, we do Where's Paldo, Chef Paul Girard. He is hosting elsewhere at Bel Rev, a new place down on Church Street. Took over the old burrito bar space up from one of my former favorite Peeler joints. I spent many birthdays at the Baby Doll Lounge. So you can check out New York history there. And then the Reverend, Where's Revo, Spiro, is out. And we're going to figure out right now if he's actually listening live or if he'll click on the link, because in the pre-show banter, Sunday morning I'm reading the Post, as I do every Sunday and every day of the week. I'm a big New York Post fan. One of my many vices, canned beer, Irish whiskey, absinthe, morally casual women in the New York Post. And there was an article about a couple who is expecting their first kid. They think it's going to be a boy, or at least the husband does. And they're arguing over the name, which I would imagine happens a lot. Most guys just want to or don't want to name their impending daughter after a name that could be perceived as a stripper name, so she doesn't end up on the pole. So you don't want to name your kid Chevrolet or... no car names, no expensive, like champagne is a bad idea. But this is a man of Greek heritage, and he wants Spyridon as the name. Now, Spyridon is Spyro's actual full name, Spyro's full name. I can't even pronounce it. And the wife, who is Russian, does not. So the gentleman, the husband, started a petition, and at the time of the Post article, there were four signatures, pro for Spyridon. And he felt it was a great Greek heritage name. Now, I look today. He needs 100,000. He's only got about 1,100. But the wife says that the name Spyridon is archaic, base, bereft of elegance, and unsuitable for a child in the 21st century. So if the Rev is listening, that's how his name has been described. But I'm going to introduce my guests. But very quickly, I do want to give a shout-out. Last week, we had Chris Keneally, Dinshaw Gobai, and we recounted a lot of our favorite stories from little Jimmy, who was a guest on this show and who passed away almost at age 69. And I hit his wake-up and his funeral. Randy Watts of Nathan's Famous sent absolutely a beautiful bouquet, which the family greatly appreciated. And George Shea of Major League Eating stopped by the wake. All was very nice. The Daily News article I did buy the Daily News that day, was sitting in his coffin and was buried with him. So little Jimmy getting a little meaty at the end. But the reason I bring it up is I haven't been to church maybe three times in my life, mostly for funerals. This was a funeral. And the priest, I think that's what, he had a pretty cool hat, like a little beanie with some points on it. He made a cunnilingus joke. And I don't know how often that happens in church, but little Jimmy on this show, and even though his motto is Think Big and his autobiography, Little Man Thinking Big, all the royalties go to the little people of America. That is really his slogan. But the one we always liked was the more off-color one, which is whatever you do on your knees, I do standing up. And the priest referenced that. And, of course, he said, I'm glad that everyone has laughed and tittered because we all knew it was about cunnilingus. And then he brought it around and it was, you know, godly. And he said little Jimmy was receiving God standing up, and I guess that made it okay. It sort of makes me feel like Eating Disorder when I tell a masturbation sleeve story in the opening prelims and then find out that the head of the studio was our engineer that night. So I don't know how often it happens that those kind of jokes are made in church, but it was in honor of little Jimmy, now buried in Staten Island with a view of the expressway. He, of course, was Little Uncle Sam on July 4th. And tonight's episode is July 4th centric in one way, but really it's more eating centric in another. So if you go through the history of cinema and cinema and food and competitive eating in cinema, big steaks make an appearance. You've got John Candy in The Great Outdoors. Barbra Streisand attempts to eat the big steak in The Guilt Trip, cheered on by Seth Rogen. I think Candy versus Streisand is an easy one to call. But the greatest scene of all, of course, is Bill Murray cheering on, of course, the underdog from Camp Mohawk. I'm sorry, I'm against Camp Mohawk.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, Camp North Star. Is Fink, and you heard a voice there, and the Fink brothers are on. Now, they're not actually the Fink brothers, but they run a podcast called Fink Beats the Stomach, referring to that great scene in Meatballs, and they're here tonight. I don't even know their real names. Mike Sullivan and James Splendore, am I saying that right?
Yeah, yeah, throw the E on the end. Why
not? All right, and... it's like donut shop with an extra P-E at the end. So these gentlemen run. This is the first time HeritageRadioNetwork.org has ever had on rival podcasters as guests. We're breaking, I don't know if it's the plexiglass ceiling, I suppose, here. But welcome, gentlemen. Fink Beats the Stomach is on the Heavy Hitters Network.
Yes, it is.
Which
yes,
is a sports-based podcasting network.
All things sports, yeah.
And not a huge amount of shows. I mean, there's 39 shows on this network. You guys have six?
I think we're up to 10. There's been a few that have been recently launched.
All right, and that's not to be disparaging. That just
I think you're trying to set the stage of Heritage supremacy.
If you look at like Sirius XM, they probably have 1,000. And I've, through competitive eating, I've actually done almost every one of their shows, from the Catholic Channel to Playboy to Maxim to Cousin Brucey to Judith Regan to a lot of people. But it's a difference of niche podcast listening. You guys are on iTunes.
Yes, we are.
Is it heavyhitters.com?
You can go to the Heavy Hitter Network.
Heavyhitternetwork.com. Liz, the engineer, is laughing quietly because I never remember to put the network part in when I plug heritageradionetwork.org. And how long have you guys been on?
Almost a year, right, Mike?
Yeah, we're coming up on a year in June, actually.
And you say it's bi-weekly. But that's loose.
We're actually pretty good about
it. You are. All right.
Although
so
this week we're
Yeah, I was going to say, except for this week.
This counts. This is an asterisk.
Thank you.
You're on another network, but it counts. And now I feel like on iTunes maybe 15, 20 shows? How many shows are...
How many episodes
do you guys have,
I think
basically?
We
did The Jordan. We just recorded 23.
23, The Jordan. Yeah. All right. Excellent. So many episodes are devoted to specific competitive eating events. I met you guys at the Thanksgiving Invitational at Foxwoods Casino for 21-pound turkeys, eaten in 10 minutes. Others are guest-related. You've had on the noble, beautiful Brian. You've had some Philly eaters in build-up
Motrain. Shout out to Motrain, yeah.
Building up to Wing Bowl. I just actually lost a job to a Philadelphia outfit, which doesn't surprise me. They must have known that my hatred of Philly was so great, I probably couldn't work for them. But and then you had Juan Morbite Rodriguez, who you know said he'd come in third at this year's Nathan's contest.
Remains to be seen.
Mickey Sudo, Nathan's hot dog champ on the female side, and recently the one I haven't heard, but I'm dying to listen to is Michelle. Cardboard Shell Lesko, despite her nickname making no sense at all, she's one of the most lovely people on the circuit. Was that a good episode?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. She actually threw a little bit more sense into her nickname. Apparently, it just boils down to the fact she didn't want her students to find her on social media. She just came up with a nickname like Cardboard Shell.
Cardboard Shell. So it's like she closes in under a cardboard shell?
She has the story of...
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
She has the story of like... She eats so much when she goes out that she'll even eat the cardboard shell that your leftovers will go into.
I think I gave her that story because that's what I used in the Huffington Post.
So maybe that's what...
I think I made up her origin story. But I will say this. She's a very petite, wiry female eater, very ferocious at the table. And I know no other competitive eater, male or female, who cleans up as well as she does. You see her at the table and she looks like kind of like a fierce gym rat. And then you see her afterwards and I was saying like... Tara Manning or like a Haley, I don't can't remember the starless
Haley
name.
Osment,
no, I
he cleans
no,
up
no, no.
well. To be
he,
fair.
He cleans up well. He cleans up well at the buffet. I just, but she just wears these lavish dresses and these fancy high heels. So yeah, no one is going to look better at the July 4th after party. And if you want to come to that, it will be at Professor Tom's. You guys are on the list. The password is swordfish. We can announce that now because we can start our discussion with Sunday. Yesterday, I was in Atlanta for a hot dog qualifier. And I will say Nathan's is my favorite dog. I recommend people casually eat two. To be at the final table at July 4th is a journey for all eaters. You have to win a qualifier somewhere in the United States. Sometimes they have international ones you can go to. But you're not in for the money. They only pay prize money to the top five places out of 15 or 20 eaters. And you pay your own way to the contest. My flight to Delta, a big fan of Delta, but $550 to spend 6 hours in Atlanta.
Whoa.
Sunday. You cannot put a price tag, though, on going to the big show at Nathan's for the International Hot Dog Eating Championship. Reading my horoscope in the New York Post, which I generally don't believe, they said do not focus on revenge this weekend, which I thought was interesting because I was going up against a guy who'd beat me by a quarter hot dog the previous year in Charlotte. My stuff had missed. I lost to Nasty Biller, a friend, a nice guy, previously on the circuit in Plant City, Florida, also by a quarter dog. So to put revenge out of my mind was tough. To know that on paper the motivation of making it there to honor little Jimmy was important. But the interesting thing that occurred, and this is, I guess, where I'm going with this story, is that there was a Nigerian college player who banged out 20 his first time out. So I made the joke to Rich Shea, who was the MC, that he should now announce that he's going into the draft, and I think he's the number one pick. Of course, not Okafor in the NBA draft, but the MLE draft. So
this sounds more like an email scheme than anything else.
Yes, exactly. But let's talk about some of the shows you guys have had in Fink Beats the Stomach. First off, why? I think we know why the name, but how did you settle on that above all other competitive eating metaphors?
Well, I mean, we have to give a big shout out to my cousin, actually, Mike Fleischman.
Mm-hmm.
We had come up with the idea of doing a competitive eating podcast, and a lot of the obvious names came up, like Second Helping mm-hmm. or Stuffed or whatever. And I think I had put out on social media, Facebook and Twitter, like, hey, what should we call our competitive eating podcast mm-hmm. name? And Mike Fleischman had come out and said, Fink Beats the Stomach.
Done.
And I was like, wow, yeah. What's better than that, you know?
Where did the interest in competitive eating come from for each of you? And how do you know each other?
Well, we've been friends for 12 years
something
or
something like that.
All right.
So we drove to high school together, yeah. Went to college together,
okay.
Now live together.
Same college?
Roommates. Yep, Manhattan what? College in Riverdale, New York,
okay.
In the Bronx.
End of the one train.
242nd Street, Van Cortlandt nice. Park. So I almost had no interest in it. Mm-hmm. And Mike came to me one day in our new apartment and said, James, I have something that I've never asked you to do before, because mm-hmm. he's always gotten me into sort of schemes.
You're a wrestling fan.
No, that no, is Mike as
that's
well.
That's so the second thing.
What sports space, like what would be your hobby or your go-to?
Huge into sports, hip-hop.
Sports
and hip-hop
sports
are
and
what
hip-hop.
I bring
Done.
To the podcast.
Okay. And he's turned to you and just said, you got to do this with me.
I was like, screw it, why not?
All yeah. right. And did you find that you grew to like or love or respect competitive eating?
All of
Tolerate?
Those things. No, all of those things. It's a little bit jarring for me to still see like people just absolutely
yes.
go to town, but it's been a ton of fun.
All right. And what is your favorite sport, non-traditional sport or traditional sport, I guess it would be.
Traditional sport, because
yeah.
competitive eating is a
yeah,
sport,
yeah, exactly.
is hockey.
Hockey, all right.
Yeah.
Is your team a New York team, or where did you guys
grow up?
The
New York Rangers.
The Rangers. Now they're going to make the playoffs, right?
They are the in the playoffs right now.
Because the Bruins did not make it. So
that's absolutely nice. Right.
That's all right. All right, so there, and what are their chances? That's Lundqvist, the
yeah.
goalie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Neck injury, he's back, he's
Lundqvist
feeling good.
Is back, right. Exactly. They're facing the Pens, the Penguins of
okay.
Pittsburgh in the first round.
Yep.
Setting up for a nice Islanders-Rangers second
wow,
round.
Wow, that would be exciting for New York. That'd
no one will
exciting.
Go to the Coliseum to watch those games because
when,
is terrifying.
Who's moving to the Barclays Center?
Islanders.
That's
yeah.
going to be great. Have you been to the Barclays Center yet?
I have, yeah, but
All
only
right.
for shows.
Well, I've been to shows, Leonard Cohen, Miley Cyrus, Katy Perry, very similar musicians all down, and then a lot of Celtics-Nets games. I think for
sure.
hockey it's going to be amazing because it's a thimble-like
yep.
arena. So, all right, so coming from that background, you get into competitive eating, you guys launch the podcast. podcast. Why the podcast? You just felt that was your...
You know, when doing a little bit of research, we found we were trying to be the voice of the voiceless. there are people who have done competitive eating podcasts in the past.
Yes.
Brian Sykin, yep. Don Sturdy. There's been a few things here and there. A lot of podcasters have had them on as like one-off guests.
Got it. Okay.
So I just said, you know what? You know, there really needs to be a platform for competitive eaters, right. And this is something that I'm, you know, passionate and excited about. So let's do it.
All right. And now, one thing I'm going to be a little critical here. Now, you guys do the intro, which is not live, and the outro, which is not live, and then if you have a guest on, you let it go for as long as you want. Now, I'm guilty of this. When I was a guest on your show, I think I clocked in. I had to be broken up into two episodes.
But it was also our highest downloaded episode.
Well, right. Yes, for now. But I would vote Lesko is going to outdo me. But when you do that, you have no time constraints.
Yeah, I mean,
your shortest episode is 40 minutes, I'm guessing?
Probably one of the first few. Yeah, right,
and then your longest is about an hour. I think Juan Rodriguez's is like an hour.
Probably 35. An hour and a half being the longest.
Do you think you need the intro and outro?
For the interview episodes?
Yeah.
Well, normally we don't do the intro and outro.
Oh, you don't? No, okay.
Like if it's just the two of us sitting around drinking far too much,
right.
We'll just run all the way through.
All right, cool. Speaking of, you guys like to drink as well,
right? That's
right. Sir.
So we're enjoying the cheapest Budweiser beers available in Brooklyn. We're in Bushwick.
Yeah.
Most
Roberta's Pizza. They have wonderful microbrews here, but I'm not going to be able to make rent this month. So I just snuck in the 12-pack for $10, all in. Amazing, right? We were discussing whether it was the born-off date or the... expiration date. They taste okay to me, though.
And fine shouts to Liz for getting that correct.
Exactly. Yes.
And I think Mike, because I can take no credit for the podcast or for this this wonderful gift, but Mike has brought something for...
No, this is from the Fink Brothers.
And all right, from the Fink Brothers. What do you got?
Not unlike the entire podcast.
All right.
It's from the Fink Brothers, but it's
from just...
Because when I was a guest on your show, I was trying to elevate your drinking, because I would listen to other shows, and you guys were drinking like Captain Morgan or
that
Jack
was
Daniels.
That was one time, that, because we didn't have anything else in the apartment.
There are a lot of things you do one time in life, and that qualifies you for, you know, the designation. But you have a very expensive gold-handled bag there.
Well, nice. Let's start
crack
with
it
that
open.
One.
What do you got? Or open it up.
This bottle is just, you know, thank you for letting
did you
us
bring bags?
Be. Of course, like gift bags, which I believe the famous grouse was put in a.
It
in a
might
gift
have
bag.
Been, but it would have been from.
But
a
this is more of like a thanks for being on the show.
Okay. Oh my goodness, a little cachaça.
Yeah, we tried to keep. You know, brought some Scottish whiskey for us. We wanted to keep
this
the international
beautiful.
Flavor.
Yes.
Didn't know if you're a caipirinha fan.
I am, and when I went to Rio for Carnival with my then girlfriend, for her birthday fell on the Mardi Gras, and she's from New Orleans. A lot of them were drinking the vodka based. I wanted the cachaça, which for those less inebriated, it is not a rum. It's not molasses based. It's sugarcane based. So it's a much higher quality liquor than rum. And it's great. So thank you, gentlemen. I will definitely be drinking that.
So this was coming your way regardless,
right.
But we wanted to celebrate with your big win qualifying for,
I'm playing
for the big table. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is more of a congratulatory.
Although I noticed that the bag says Bon Voyage.
Because
as if I'm being bumped
for your
off.
Trip to Brooklyn.
Oh, my trip to Brooklyn. And actually, Nathan's is very thankful because it's like I spent $550 to go to Atlanta for 6 hours. George Shea's like, I'll get you a Metro card to get you to Coney.
Even though they
my
just
goodness.
Went up.
How did you know? Everybody's been pegging me as a rosé drinker since I drank last week's rosé.
There's been such a big uproar about how big of a rosé fan you are.
I really have become a rosé fan. And let's plug them. This is a Bendel, and there's a attractive woman with her mouth open.
Which we also thought you would dig.
I absolutely. This
and
is phenomenal.
It's
is so
it's
nice.
Long Island based, not unlike the Fink Brothers.
So. I'm a fan. I'm
so,
a fan.
Long of Long Island Rose. Or just the rosé?
Well, I like Billy Joel, and I'm sure he's probably... You know, he could have a bottle of rosé instead. So where in Long Island are you guys from?
South Shore, Nassau County.
Right. North Belmore, Long Island, to be very specific.
All right.
Plug. I'm not going to give you my address.
No, no, that's quite all right. But this is lovely. Thank you for the gifts. We are going to go to a break. When we come back with the Fink Brothers, we're going to talk Wing Bowl, Coney Island, all things competitive eating on this sort of food and drink-based eating disorder on the heritageradionetwork.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to Knife Show. This is Eating Disorder on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew WK. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
Andrew WK. So 33 and a third is a book series, and there's a great one about Andrew WK's I Get Wet album by Philip Crandall of South Florida currently. Music, an important part of any competitive eating event, both in the pageantry. If you haven't been to one, you'll get an MC like Rich Shea or George Shea or Sam Barkley, and they'll introduce each other with theme music. Upcoming at the New York Casino in Vegas in I think 2 weeks, 25th of April, is the Las Vegas qualifier for Nathan's. And Rich LaFever, the oldest semi-active eater on the circuit, is there. They'll often play a love song, like a Teddy Pendergrass or like a Teddy Bear song from, and they'll say, you know, that music means that Rich LaFever, and then, you know, you think this giant, soulful black guy's going to come out, and it's like a 110-pound guy who looks like Mr. Magoo comes strutting out. So music plays a big part. I did listen to some music yesterday, but I didn't hear it all. I did a little Hell's Bells, and then into Flashdance, Irene Cara, and some Katy Perry. But I just ate. So you guys have been to events now. How many events have you taken in live?
Official Fink or also?
In general. I mean, we're back at Eating Disorder with the Fink brothers from Fink Beats the Stomach.
I mean, I've been to Nathan's, I think, three times.
Okay.
Plus, you had turkey. We went to that random wing contest. And
oh, yeah. That was not...
that was a different...
It was an offshoot. Right, and Wing Bowl, of course.
Wing Bowl. Now, Wing Bowl, for those who don't know, is the Friday before the Super Bowl in Philadelphia, a radio station run by a couple douchebags. Have run it for 20-odd years, but they do give away a motorcycle. Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti won a motorcycle. I promptly went out and bought a motorcycle jacket, tried to get him to buy a sidecar and shoot a web series called Sidecar Dining, where I could just drink martinis or, you know, capirinhas as I rode in his sidecar. So it is an amazing event, and I ate the year that the Eagles were actually in the Super Bowl. Originally, it was a consolation for the Eagles fans. Because they were terrible at football. But I describe that as close to the apocalypse as you can get without it being the apocalypse. And every year, it's a 30-hour ordeal. You guys were in the Now, do you guys have media passes, or how did you get in?
Yeah, we had press access to the
and
event.
Were you able to go down among the you were on the floor for the eating event? Basically, it's 6 a.m., doors open. There's a parade of 30 eaters and floats and strippers, a lot of cellulite under those bright lights.
A ton.
And then two 15-minute rounds of eating and a two-minute final round. So at 9 a.m., you're let out of the stadium, and it's the largest day for strip clubs. They all open, and it's legs and eggs. But the eating kind of takes a second seat to the tomfoolery. And
I would almost say a third.
A third seat. All right. So they did do away with tailgating, but I'd imagine. Now, did you go in sober, or were you drinking?
We tried to take a couple nips real early.
Yeah,
but we
went
in at like 5 or so, and we're staying with a friend.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really get really where we needed to be, because it got gross pretty quick.
And you got to stay warm. I know alcohol doesn't actually keep you warm, but it kind of helps a little bit. Did you see thrown projectiles? Did you see racial epithets? Did you see misogynistic
100%.
Gestures?
Yeah. Also, this was just on the streets of Philly. This is before
this is pre-wing ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it was everything that you would never want to see.
Yeah.
Twice. But I saw it once.
All right. And who were you went? You also had a Philly eater, Mo Train. Sorry, I saw a picture on your website of him. He doesn't look exactly what I would think he would look like.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Is there a prototypical competitive eater?
A prototypical competitive eater, but you generally go off the name, and you're kind of like, you know, Badlands. He's as expansive as the Badlands.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, that's fair.
The Las Vegas Locust, like Ritual Fever, has sort of a bug light capacity to him, not in a bad way, but and so he showed you around, or what stunt did he do to eat? Because you have to win a stunt to get on the
Motrain stunt was fantastic.
Okay,
he basically ate, I'm pretty sure it was a filet mignon,
wow, nice.
And then like an asparagus with like hollandaise sauce on it, and
like a ton of asparagus.
It was multiple, I think,
which is really not the sauce you should choose, because a lot of these stunts are done at 6 a.m.
Right.
In a radio studio that has no kitchen, that has a microwave.
They plugged in a toaster oven to cook all this stuff.
Yeah, to cook his lightly whipped cream and egg concoction.
Yeah. Cream-based at 6 a.m.
No.
And he did it in a tuxedo and stuff.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
He went all out. He had fun with it.
Good.
Because some of the people, like one of the guys just ate bread.
Yeah. I remember when I ate, there was a guy who ate a candle, who ate a whole wax candle. Yeah. So there's some interesting. Did you guys meet Rick the manager?
We saw Rick the manager.
Okay.
I don't even know who that is.
He is a self-proclaimed manager, but he manages his lovely wife, who's very attractive, but then also a host of kind of a coterie of harem-like girls. But
harem,
they're usually more attractive than the other girls you see there. And he entertains the night before, because you have to go and you stay up all night. And
sure.
I can't remember what the name of the strip club we go to is. It was in the woods.
It
was like a Deliverance strip club. It was pretty good, though. The trap room. It was pretty impressive. But you survived Wing Bowl.
We did. And we went to Club Risque after. There was some legs and eggs. I don't know who ate it.
Oh, everyone but me, I think.
I had a bagel.
Our friend Joe and his girlfriend went for seconds.
They loved Wing Bowl.
I didn't trust anyone in Philly to not poison them.
That's probably a good choice.
Yeah.
And you saw Badlands Booker there.
Badlands was having probably the most fun I've ever seen anyone have.
Well, I will say that he's such a lovely individual. I hate to say it, but our cue for leaving Wing Bowl was always, we would go to a cheesesteak place and he would pass out and wet himself. And then I was like, it's time to go back to New York.
We were like, are we going to see him wet himself? Is this going to be the moment?
Yeah. Well, you survived that. So upcoming, any events you're attending in the summer tour?
Yeah, I mean, we're planning on hitting up the qualifier at Citi Field.
Yeah, yeah.
June 14th.
And you know who's eating there, I assume?
We don't know for sure. Oh. We've heard rumblings here and there.
Well,
but
the most frugal eater is the man who only spent $2.50.
Which is
on
almost,
his
I think, is that even at his peak? I don't know. Just raised the fare.
Yeah, $2.75. He may stay home.
He might try to walk.
I don't know. But EaterX, Tim Janis, who last year actually bowed out moments before the contest, not feeling well. And I had already eaten a bagel, but I said I was babysitting. I had a 5-year-old toe. I was like, just stand by the table. I've actually brought him to a lot of events, not by his choice. And then he hopped back in, and he ate enough to win. He ate like 25, and then this other eater was catching up, so he ate a little more. But I think he's going to go all out this year. I think you guys see a big number.
Love to see that.
And then we'll go to the game afterwards. So, you know,
beautiful. We were debating on whether we wanted to actually get tickets to the game.
Don't buy tickets. We'll get you tickets.
Beautiful.
Nathan's gives tickets out. So it is one of the nice things. Or somebody gives Major League.
Somebody will.
Someone always hands me a stack of tickets and is like, do with these what you will. All right. And then Coney Island. So,
and well, we don't want to forget about pork roll as well.
Oh, that's right. New Jersey pork roll. Is that at the Meadowlands? Where is that?
Yeah. The racetrack.
The racetrack.
So the middle of nowhere is where it is.
I've done a few contests at the Meadowlands. The most depressing one was boiled pig's feet, where we were on after a Sparkle Motion dance club, and we had to hurry up because there was an ugly baby contest after us.
So that was Jersey baby was in
I watched George Shea's wingtip loafers get sloshed with boiled pigs thing because the scales weren't working, and Hungry Charles felt bad. There were only three eaters, and there were four places, and Pat Frumunaki, I don't know if you've seen him, very nice, kind guy, but he sort of looks like the man on the moon. And George was like, look, he was like, I can't eat this food. He's like, look, there's four places of prize money. Just go up there and rub some on your face, and you'll come in fourth, which he did. He just played with the food the whole time. But that was the most depressing contest at the Meadowlands, and I've been to a few there. I lost a hot dog qualifier there. So,
can't wait.
But pork roll, which is a Scrapple-like product.
It's just like Jersey bologna is how I describe it.
But isn't it closer to liverwurst? Or is it really bologna? Is it a solid consistency?
It looks like bologna.
Oh, it does. All right.
But so then they upgrade it from bologna, I guess, because they'll put it on a breakfast sandwich. But
all right. It's a slurry of leftover parts.
But
we're going to
eat sloppy Joe.
And a lot of, yes, a well-congealed sloppy Joe, which is always what you want to hear. That's all right. So that's going to be a fun one. We'll have to figure out where the after party for that one is.
But, somewhere in the state lines of New York, preferably.
Yeah, I would agree. It's hard to get to Jersey. And then Coney Island. And is there something you're looking forward to this year, now coming off a year of competitive eating podcasting?
I want to see Badlands on the mic again, to be honest.
Of course.
That was highlight of maybe my year last year. Seeing Crazy Legs Conti.
Yeah, returning after
the redemption story of Crazy Legs Conti.
Yes, yeah, we didn't get to see you eat last year.
No, I was angry in the crowd wearing my Jordowski shirt and my black top hat. You could just see me on ESPN kind of scowling as they carried Joey in on whatever that cart is. But I'm glad to be back. It's been a so we don't count the calendar year. It'll be my 15th year competitive eating July 5th. But I've been 11 out of 14 years, so I've missed it 3 years. So it's good to be back. Sonya's got some years on me because she's done maybe 11 or 12 straight, and Badlands has some years, although he did retire for a few. So I think I'm up there in seniority. Any eaters of the rookie or newer eaters you're looking forward to seeing?
I mean, the number one that I'm waiting to see if he's going to try to qualify is Eric the Electric.
Eric the Electric. Okay, this is a guy.
He was at the Boysenberry contest at Knott's Farm.
Sure. Lampin? Is that what it is?
Lampin.
Yeah, he ate all. He ate like 8.5 pounds of blueberry pie at Steve Martin's old stomping grounds. He used to be a magician there.
Really?
Yeah, that's how he became a comedian. Knoxbury Farms in California. A lot of West Coast contests.
Yeah, I can't afford the air.
You got. Burritos in Denver. You got wings in Arizona. I'd love to get to AZ. So a bunch of qualifiers out there. It seems more than last year. I think so.
Moving towards Joey.
I mean, you have the top two eaters are
Stoney
on the West
Joey.
Coast. You have Lesko out there.
True.
Mickey. There's a lot. I guess they're more. There's more incentive to go out in the West Coast.
It's been about 10 years of East Coast dominance. So at last, we have the East Coast, West Coast beef. All right. So, and then you'll attend the after party at Ruby's on the Boardwalk and the after party at Professor Tom's that night, where you can see no matter how much Joey Chestnut drools during the eating contest, he drools a lot more on Jameson whiskey at the after party.
We got to give a big congrats. He said his bachelor party as well.
Oh, yes, exactly.
I bet that was crazy.
Yes, probably.
A lot of photos from like Hooters, and then there was like all that. He's been crazy the past few weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a man who took 10 years to get a job and then decided not to get a job, or 10 years to graduate college to get a job and decided to, you know, live off his $212,000 a year that he makes through Major League Eating.
There's a number we've been looking for, Mike.
Eat Feet says otherwise.
Oh, really? What, they say more or less?
Less? Probably this year would have been less. Winnings only.
I think it was like 60K or something. But he's got a house, a fiance, a dog. Yeah, that money's going now.
We have none of those things. So.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. So tell us where people can find you.
We always say the best way to get in touch with the show is definitely through Twitter, which you can find at twitter.com/FBTSpod. Email if you're looking for something a little bit longer than 144 characters, finkbeatsthestomach@gmail.com. Show notes for our show, thinkbeatsthestomach.blogspot.com.
Absolutely.
And we got to give a shout out to Kate Murphy, my girlfriend, mm-hmm. just started up the official Think Beats the Stomach Instagram account.
Wow, nice. Okay.
Which One More Bite was very excited about.
Right.
so you can also find that at FBTS Pod.
All right, that's good.
And you can just see us in the streets. I mean, we're around. We're
that's
generally
right.
in the streets.
Hell's Kitchen.
New York.
Hell's yeah. Kitchen.
We're in HK, so.
You guys have you hit the good Mexican food in Hell's Kitchen on 10th Ave between 46 and 47?
I just got Great Dominican on 51st between 9th and 10th.
A little mongu in the morning.
Oh, it was wonderful.
All right.
A little
Monfongo. Hell's Kitchen is actually, I think, the culinary epicenter for. Called the middle class eater. Do you know what I mean? Like, your fine dining happens all over New York, but I can't afford that. But Hell's Kitchen, I can run the gamut.
My Grubhub has a lot of very good and cheap places. So
yeah,
absolutely.
Grubhub is what, delivery?
I mean, I'll pick it up.
I'll pick it up. Always pick up your food in New York. So.
I did.
Those eggs keep cooking. All right, so Fink Beats the Stomach. Tune in, and I would imagine you're going to have some shows devoted to the contests you're attending, but particularly as we head in to the season. And we didn't even discuss it, but there was some talk we were all going to do a Katy Perry competitive eating stunt.
Wow, we're putting it public now.
I think we have to move on this. I bought the three outfits. So maybe
we were going to talk after, but I'm glad now it's on the radio.
Cupcake.
Spiro knows about it now. So.
All right, there you go, if he's listening. But anyway, love to have you guys on. We really appreciate it. Intelligent guys who run a very good podcast at the Heavy Hitters Network. Think Beats the Stomach. Check it out, especially now that it is summer. Are you ready for the summer? Off the Meatball soundtrack should be playing, but in the instead of that, it'll just be my sonorous voice saying goodnight. Crazy Legs Conti from Eating Disorder on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.